Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, as I was preparing for our next guest, I came across a great Bloomberg opinion piece by a columnist, Laura Williams. Check out what she wrote earlier this year. She said, "We've got a lot to thank the ocean for. 3 billion people depend on its ecosystems for food and economic security. It's also helped to mitigate climate change, absorbing 93% of the heat trapped by greenhouse gases and about 30% of the carbon dioxide emitted by burning fossil fuels so far. If we didn't have the ocean, we'd be in a much stickier situation." Well, our next guest knows all too well the importance of the ocean. Dr. Deborah Brosnan is a marine scientist and environmental risk expert. She's also the head of the scientific consulting company, Deborah Brosnan and Associates. She's just returned from the Global Citizen Forum. It ran alongside the UN Climate Change Conference, COP28, in the UAE. Dr. Brosnan joins us from Washington, D.C. this afternoon. Good to have you with us this afternoon, Dr. Brosnan. What did you find at COP? How were the vibes? I mean, I've heard and seen news reports about sort of both sides of the spectrum here.
So COP was very interesting. So the first week of COP was extremely hopeful. I came into COP and then day one, I felt optimistic. All of a sudden we had two nations, UAE and Germany, pledged $100 million each towards loss and damage, which is really to help small island developing states and emerging nations deal with the loss and the damage from climate change that they didn't cause. So there was a huge level of optimism. And week one, we saw that develop more and more and that people were very positive. Week two, which is what we're coming to the close of right now, which is when really a lot of the negotiations started, the mood really began to change. And then COP felt like 100,000 people all running around talking, but not necessarily doing. And what we're seeing right now is, as you know, we've gone into overtime of COP28 because nations are battling whether to include in the language to phase out fossil fuels or simply to say it would be a good idea and it could be done in this way. So COP28 has been, I think, like many COPs, starting strong with a lot of hope, and then getting mired in politics and mired in nations, really battling for different interests. On the other hand, it's fair to say that everybody at COP, everybody knows we're in a climate crisis, and everybody knows that something must be done urgently. The challenge is in the agreements.
Why is it so important to protect the oceans? Is it about the sea life within the ocean, or are we more at COP talking about how it relates to climate change?
At COP, we're talking more about how it relates to climate change because that is the focus of COP. But the reason it's really important to protect the oceans goes even beyond COP and climate. The oceans cover 3/4 of our planet, and we literally depend on them they produce half of the planet's oxygen. And in terms of climate change, they're absorbed over 90% of the excess heat. Now, the oceans support, 3 billion people, more or less indirectly. The level at which we depend on the oceans is something I think most people don't fully understand. Along the coastline, where you have coral reefs, where you have oyster reefs and sand dunes, those nature-based solutions, those natural habitats actually buffer us against sea level rise and climate change. So our relationship with the ocean is fundamental to our survival. And the challenge really is that people don't fully understand it. So our oceans really, if they were a country, They drank seventh in the world. So they would be a major presence at COP, but yet they received the lowest of all funding of the Sustainable Development Goals. So we really have to up our attention to the ocean, and we can.
Yeah, they do seem like an afterthought. Now that, you know, in preparing for this, I kind of felt like, you know, we don't necessarily talk about the ocean a lot in the context of climate change. We talk so much about greenhouse gas emissions, and we talk about a transition away from fossil fuels, but we talk about forests, of course, but oceans we don't talk about in the same way. Ocean Shot.
No,
this is a really cool project that I want to make sure we're covering. You use AI cameras. Explain what it is and what you've discovered just over the last year.
So Ocean Shot was designed to focus on a little bit of what I spoke about, the value of coral reefs in providing habitats, in breaking wave action so that we keep sand on the beach, protect coastal properties, and support fisheries and biodiversity. So Ocean Shot was designed to literally design the kind of coral reef structure that we need to have in our oceans for today and the future, the kind of habitats they provide, and then to build and create those structures and put them in the sea. And we deployed our first Ocean Shot off Antigua and Barbuda last year. And we planted it with 9 different species of corals. But over that 1 year, we put artificial intelligence cameras on those reefs to see what kind of species we had and what kind of species were showing up, and use the AI technology to identify those species. So within a year, we had 36 species of fish start to come in and literally set up home in our modules, along with octopus, along with lobster, and a host of other species. And what it really showed us with the cameras is that once we provide the habitat for species, they do come. Those 36 species of fish would not have existed without these Ocean Shot reefs. And the other thing we're learning is that we can restore these reef habitats, these reefs, in a way that is scalable and transferable, particularly to emerging nations where we find most of these coral reefs. So it's been a fascinating experiment, and we're planning on doing some more.
Yeah, I mean, 36 new species of fish. I'm curious, what does progress look like when it comes to ocean restoration? Is there an element of irreversible damage to coral reefs, or can we actually make progress and restore reefs to a level that, you know, they were years ago?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question as to what do we define as success and progress. I think corals are in trouble. This year in particular, we had water temperatures 101 degrees Fahrenheit off Florida. And that's, by the way, the temperature of a hot tub. And so corals were immersed in that, and we saw a huge amount of coral bleaching and mortality. So we're working very hard to restore resilient corals. But the other part of success is to say, with these habitats that have been either destroyed or degraded and literally collapsed, that success to me is restoring and creating habitats that are viable into the future, that will transition to the climate change that we're having, and where we start to see communities, biological communities of fish, invertebrates that are important to the reef, but also important to us, either for food or recreation or other, even medicines today, start to come back and establish themselves, but also persist. Because there's no doubt we are going through a huge transition in the earth. There is no way we're going back to the reefs of 30, 40, 50 years ago any more than we're going back to the world of 30, 40 years ago. We have to build for the future.
We have 30 seconds left. And can you end with an optimistic note? What makes you optimistic about the future?
Oh, I'm hugely optimistic because I can see that whatever's happening in COP, when you look around you, scientists like me are taking action and doing work. I just did an underwater panel with Paddy. They're working on 1 billion divers actually doing work in the ocean to change things. The upcoming generation take for granted that we're going to take action. I'm hugely optimistic that we are going to get through this in a positive way and have a better world.
Well, really appreciate you joining us, especially after so much travel over the last few days. Dr. Deborah Brosnan, marine scientist and environmental risk expert, the head of the scientific consulting company Deborah Brosnan and Associates.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization. We live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.